listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I'm Robert Cook, pastor of Joy of Faith Christian Center, encouraging you to join me each weekday morning, Monday through Fridays at 7 a.m. here on WCNO 89.9 FM for the Positive Change broadcast.
Free Spirit Worship Center, under the pastoral leadership of Pastors Ronnie and Glenise Glover, located at 364 Swain Boulevard, Green Acres, Florida, at the corner of Swain and Biscayne. Join us every Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m. Free Spirit Worship Center, where families are our focus. Exciting praise and worship, a family-friendly worship environment. For additional information, call 561-596-8772 on the web at www.fswcc.org.
God we have is our absolute solution. Did you hear me? And he's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of forgiveness. But he's also a God of truth. Again, any God outside of the scriptures is an idol.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 12, and Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children, so please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will continue his discussion on the negative impacts of idolatry. We will pick up with the reading of Hosea chapter 8, verse 2. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of the eviction of God and the embracing of idolatry.
Israel shall cry to me, my God, we know thee. In other words, Israel made a pretense of devotion. Israel conducted themselves like, we got church programs, we got mission programs, we got activity, we engage in the community. Yes, those things should be an extension of a church that's thriving and growing. But here's the key. If you think that those things can be in place and the people that are in charge of that place of worship, the people that are in place there, and they don't know God and they're engaged in idolatry, I submit to you with all due respect, God is not there. They called on me, God says. They profess that they know me. Remind me what Jesus said in Matthew, remember? And in Matthew chapter 7, what did Jesus say? Around verse 21. Not everyone that say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done wondrous work? And you don't ever want to hear these words when your life is over. You don't ever want to hear the master say. You don't ever want to hear Jesus say these words to you that will weigh with you for eternity. The words, you don't ever want to hear these words that countless millions and millions of years in eternity, you will always hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Hold up, God. You want to see my Baptist card? Wait a minute, God. I belong to this denomination, and we did this kind of a work, and I've done this. God, when you were doing all those things, you did it for yourself. You love the attention. You love the person standing behind a podium talk about what you gave and what you did and what you are doing. You're embracing all the credit. And God says, you went and noble thing, a good thing, make sure that people can get drinking waters in disenfranchised countries. Make sure that they were getting their shots and there was some, you know, communicating medical information, making sure that they get medical supplies. Please be careful of the motive, because if it's not for Almighty God, it's a big zero. God says, I ain't know you. You even gave me these weak prayers. You prayed and asked me to bless you. I don't even know you. That's what he said. I don't know you. You can cite the Shema. You can quote this and that. But God says, I don't even know you. That's what he said. He said, Israel, they in verse 2, they cry out to me. What happened, Pastor? Again, they pretended. They didn't have a real relationship with God. They had profession, but it was just lip service. It was just lip service. How do you know, Pastor? Because actions speak louder than words. We show up on Sunday. We show up on a Saturday night. We show up on Wednesday. But when I look at your life, and I look at the consistency of decision making, and I look at the consistency of a mindset that you enjoy, however, I can tell right now God is saying, you don't know me, but you're good in your religion. Have mercy on us, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. Let's not walk around and navigate around here with an air of pride that because we know our Bible and we've attended seminary, we've had training, and we are here. Make sure that the wonderful aroma of humility is all over this place. Because if humility is not here, then guess what surfaces? Guess what erects itself as God? Pride. And when pride is in the center of everything, in every decision, in every reaction, when it's pride, just call yourself an idol. Her actions, Israel's actions, getting engaged and again, offering sacrifices, worshiping pagan deities like Ashtoreth and Baal, the Canaanite gods of that day. Her actions, even though they said we know Jehovah God, we know Yahweh, but yet their actions was something else. And consequently, God says, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. So again, an ingenuous relationship. I pray that everybody here has a sincere and real relationship with Jesus Christ. My wife and I were just having a conversation, and she was communicating about a conversation on the radio in a radio program about someone losing their salvation or someone that's walking away from God. And the bottom line, with all due respect, just because you walk down an aisle and raise your hand does not mean that you got born again. And the numbers flood all the time. And I'm not throwing stones at nobody's crusade. But if all those millions and millions of people that we've witnessed on the radio, if they were truly born again, why do we live in a country that we live in? Why are the churches acting like they are today? Be careful of these false converts, because 1 John 2:19 said they didn't belong. That's why they left. And I remind myself that what they missed today, they missed this wonderful but essential dynamic called repentance. See, I can confess all my junk against God. I can confess what I'm doing wrong. But if I have no intention of changing, I have no intention to get right with God. You didn't repent. I have no intention of getting rid of the dope. I have no intention of getting rid of that woman or the man. I have no intention of not lying anymore and cheating and taking advantage of people. I have no intention to change. With all due respect, I don't see the fruits of the Spirit. I see the works of the flesh. I hope y'all don't mind old-fashioned, old-time Bible preaching today. That's what we're missing. I'm not here to give you little nice platitudes. I want your conscience to be challenged this morning. That's what happens to me. Because, Pastor, why are you so serious? This is a serious message. It's speaking about idolatry, and I don't want to even identify with the consequences of idolatry. Yes, not an ingenuous relationship. Yes, no, I don't want imminent judgment. Third point, you will ignorantly evict God out your life. Verse 3, and it's insidious. Ignorantly, indifferent, just put the word there, they evicted God. They kicked God out. Now, they can't literally kick God out, you know, because he's all-powerful. But what the verse is saying, his statutes don't mean anything. His commandments does not have any power or authority. I don't want God's standards. I don't want his convictions. I don't want his commandment. We know we used to follow that, but we're going to follow our own rules now. And when you try to do church or create ministry and you eliminate the Bible, and when you try to identify your walk and your relationship with God, do not evict God. Can I tell you, that's a horrible and a terrible place to be when you remove God out your life. When you remove the word of God and his principles, it does not change. Proverbs 13 reminds us, whoever despises the word of God shall be destroyed. So if you hate the Bible, you don't want the scriptures, and you're trying to get married and raise your kids and build a family outside the scriptures, we're going to do church outside the scriptures. And then verse 3, the Bible says, Israel has cast off the thing that is good. We took prayer out of school. That was good. We took the Bible away, even though we do a little Photoshop, a photo op, and just a formality when the president puts his hands on the Bible. But it doesn't mean anything. They threw away what is more precious, what is more effective, what is greater, what is good than God's word and God himself. God, we will move away from you. We don't need you anymore. You're too condescending. You're too judgmental. Matter of fact, God, we're going to be a little bit more sophisticated, and we're going to show a little bit more compassion for the culture, because all the passages in the Bible that will hurt people's feelings, all the passages in the Bible that people look at as, you know, I just can't read that because that's intolerable to me. I just can't handle that, Pastor. That's an offense. That's offensive language. So we're going to eliminate out that. We're not going to do that anymore. Israel moved God away. Even though they had their ceremonies and they had their feast, but God was not invited. They had evicted God. I want everybody to think right now, is there an area in your life where you have evicted God? Told God, step off, God, leave me alone, I got this one. You know what God has said about your purity. You know what God has said about your finances. You know what God has said about relationships and being unequally yoked. You know what God has said about how you should conduct yourself in this fellowship. Is there anything, any area in your life where you have evicted God and told God, I'm done with you, I throw you away, I'm done? And because of this mindset of idolatry and the impact of it, let's move to point number 4. They begin, I call it a point of actions. They have this impudent action of appointment. Impudent, I-M-P-U-D-E-N-T, impudent action of appointment. They start setting up and appointing kings that God did not approve. Look at verse 4. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. has nothing to do with God not knowing, because he's all-knowing. In other words, they didn't seek my face about it. They didn't invite me on decision. And their silver and their gold have they made with their idols, and they made that they may be cut off. You see what idolatry would move you into this position, not only just ignorance, but it moves you to act apart from God. When you're in idolatry, you eliminate God, not only his influence, but you take a course of action without inviting him in it. It's just like Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart is the opposite of that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. The opposite of that. I don't trust the Lord with all my heart, so I trust myself. I won't trust God and seek his word and seek the scriptures and seek godly counseling. I will rely and depend on my own understanding. I will draw my own conclusions. So there's no need to acknowledge him for anything. There's no need to acknowledge him for any decision that I make. And I will direct my own path. That's exactly what we have in this passage. God did not direct them to point the kings that they had. They decide to do things their own way. And let me ask you something. Are you guilty of erecting things or doing things without seeking God's face first? Have you placed people of influence in your life that God didn't tell you to put yourself? God said, hey, did I tell you to place yourself on that pastor? Did I tell you to place yourself on that person of influence in your life? How does that happen with us, Pastor? How does that happen? Let me tell you something. I like music. But if there's a musician or an artist or an actor that you listen to or you watch on a regular basis, you better ask yourself, did God say it was okay for me to be under that influence? Be careful. I didn't tell you to listen to, you can name the pop artists, the rap artists, the groups that are out there today, the movies, the actors, you know what's out there today. You sit there and you watch, you elevate them to a level. Ask yourself, are you not placing yourself under their influence? Be careful, or you find yourself with these impudent actions of appointment, and then you're making these futile gods. You know, God gives examples again of Israel's sin. Verses 4 through 6, and the rest of this chapter, verses 4 through 6, in this specific chapter, the appointed leaders were out consulting the Lord. We're getting ready to have an election time now. I, with all due respect, I tell you, we are where we are as a nation because we did not consult God. These people are elected in the House of Representatives. These people are elected in the Senate. These people, the person elected in the White House. Let me ask you a question. When you go to the voter's box, please, do you get on your knees and say, God, I'm just a child. Can you direct me with this decision? I need to invite you in everything. Everything I do, God. To the house I live in, and the car I drive, and the clothes I buy. Everything, God, because you are sovereign God. And God, when I don't seek your face, what am I doing but acting like I'm in idolatry? Because I've ruled you out. And you can look at Israel history from the northern kingdom, because it's divided from King Jeroboam to the various different kings that got into idolatry. All these revolts took place because, and they were plagued with trouble because they did not consult the Lord. The other point I want to share with you, because of, again, the next point, if you take a note, they were incapable of being pure. Incapable of being pure. You see that in verses 5 and 6. Let's look at that stuff, because they've gotten into idolatry. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. My anger is kindled against thee. And notice what God says in the question. He's asked a question in the second half of verse 5. There's a question.
Is it possible? Can you ever get to the place where you're going to be innocent? Translation, when are you going to be walking in purity for a change? When are you going to do walk in faithfulness for a change? Is it possible, Israel? Is it possible, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship? Have you gotten to that place where it looks like you're involved with an idol? Notice Israel got this fixation with calves. You know what that? Something about that golden calf, right? You know, right from the Exodus, they erected a calf when Moses went on Mount Sinai. We know that story, but it was close to a Canaanite deity. Idol worship again. Samaria is a picture of Israel. And you got this idol, and God says, you know what? For all my rules and the covenant that we've had and the miracles I perform on your behalf, you still don't get it. You still elect to remain in idolatry. Since you love the idols so much, let me tell you how impotent, that's the point, impotent the idols are. Impotent. Can't function. Weak. Got no power. You leave all powerful to all weak. Verse 6. It's impotent because it was formed and shaped by the hands of man. For from Israel was it also, the workman made it, therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. The one thing about idolatry is that you will create a God that would never deliver. Did you hear me? You will create a God, as I was sharing with the brother not too long ago. Be careful of creating a God. You know, they fashioned it with gold and silver, and then they made it man-like. If you want to know a good case study on idolatry, look at the Greek and Roman culture. Whether it's Zeus or Jupiter or Hercules or Achilles, they would take a personality, they would take a human personality or create from their own imagination the kind of God, a God of lust, a God of passion, God of strength, God of war. They would create all these gods. Most of the time when you see a God that has eyes, but I submit to you that God would never see your problems. That God would never see what's going on in your heart. That God can't see the future either. You make a God and it has ears. But that God, you can cry, you can weep, you can cut yourself, you can beg, but that God won't answer no prayer. And believe it or not, you look at your dollar, you got some eyes and a face on it. You look at your currency, it has eyes. One of them is very satanic. But they can't see my problems. They can't see what I need in the future. You make a God with hands, but it would never hold you. It would never be the lifter of your head. It can never point you in the right direction to go. But you make that kind of a God. You make an idol, hands, eyes, mouth. But it won't speak unless it's satanically inspired to seduce you. You give it feet, but it can never walk with you. Can never walk or lead you. Everybody, put your mind and your heart on what a possible, or maybe God is showing you right now, the idol that you have in your life. Where have you evicted God? In my own life, I've had to visit my idols. I had to reevaluate some things. Football can't be an idol. Working out can't be an idol. But the most subtle idol that I've found has been the biggest challenge in my life. And I know you can identify. The most, if I'm not careful, the most influential, engaged, dictating, subtle idol that doesn't want any competition. Can I tell you who it is? Look in the mirror. That's who it is. Think about it. I ain't happy. Since I ain't happy, nobody ain't gonna be happy. I'm angry, so everybody need to be angry. I think you should do this my way. This is the only way. Be careful that I will define God the way I want to define God. I don't know about you, but this idol, we want to make sure that we always put to death and we crush, just like God says, I'm going to crush that golden calf, I'm going to ground it to powder, I'm going to get rid of that thing, and we need to make sure we get rid of the self-idolatry in our heart. Amen? Because you look at America, I love the eagle, I love Old Glory, I love the flag, I love America exceptionalism, I love and appreciate those values, but if they supplant God, it's an idol. We are faithful to God Almighty first and foremost. And God Almighty made this nation on a Judeo-Christian ethics. God Almighty, guess what? Yes, right, people say, don't preach politics behind the pulpit, Pastor. Well, guess what? It's our civic responsibility and our duty to inform. And if you know anything about the Constitution, I've been doing some homework, you'd be surprised that when they had the nerve to pray and get together and pray before they began to write the Constitution. You mean the framers got together and prayed? And they saw God? Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, let's make sure that we have an accurate, biblical understanding by way of the Holy Spirit when it comes down to God. Your God is not impotent. Your God is not weak. Your God is not ignorant. The God we have is, again, not guessing. The God we have is our absolute solution. Did you hear me? And he's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of forgiveness, but he's also a God of truth. Again, any God outside of the scriptures is an idol. And I hope and pray that if you've been experiencing some of these negative influences of idolatry, where you have some judgment going on, some, for the Christian, chastening going on in your life right now. That's some chastening going on. And God said, make sure that your relationship is genuine and sincere, not phony, not traditional, not hypocritical. Make sure you've had a genuine, born-again experience to have a genuine relationship with me. Don't be ignorant, because before you know it, because of your idolatry, you'll be evicting God out your life. And then you'll be appointing people that shouldn't have appointment authority in your life. And all of a sudden, it puts you in a position where you're incapable of being pure and practicing what's holy. And you'll be locked in, investing in an impotent idol that can never, ever deliver you.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, The Eviction of God and the Embracing of Idolatry. In today's message, Pastor Bernard continued a serious message that discussed several consequences of idolatry. In summary, idolatry is an insufficient substitute for a relationship with the living God. The one true God cares for us. He loves us. He's willing to forgive us, and he desires to have a relationship with his children. To learn more about having a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support the work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.
We bless the name of the Lord our God.